To 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me begin this morning by saying that I believe personally that one of the greatest gifts that a mother can give is the gift of her love, and in particular, the gift of her love for the Word of God. I had a mother who loved this book. I used to watch her in the mornings as she'd sit in her chair and she'd read the Bible. She'd pray for me. And I watched her as she lived out the Christian life. She didn't just talk the talk. She walked the walk. She was consistent as a Christian. Sometimes it wasn't always easy in our home, but my mom, her life had a tremendous impact on my life personally. My mother was killed in a car accident just 6 years ago. And if you were to ask me this morning, do I understand why that happened? I would say, I have no idea. However, I do understand this, that her life and her legacy had a greater impact on my life than any other human being. As a leader, I stand on her shoulders. She had a tremendous impact on me personally. And so this morning, I want to use that as a starting point, and I want to address your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 3, where we find that Timothy had a mother and a grandmother just like that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we read here, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, please. In 2 Timothy 1, 5, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, he said, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." We know absolutely nothing about Timothy's father, but we know a fair bit about his mother and grandmother in the Word of God. We know that these two ladies, in fact, incidentally, Timothy may have come from a single family home, or his father was not a Christian. But these two ladies dedicated themselves to inculcating the Word of God into his young life. And he went on, as many of you know, to become one of the greatest leaders in the first century church. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read about the impact of their lives on his life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I want to just divide this section this morning into two parts. Think of verse number 14 as speaking to us about our responsibility to the Word of God, our responsibility to God's Word. Then verse number 15 to verse 17, it's our reliance on the Word of God, our reliance on God's Word. So responsibility, verse 14, reliance, verse 15 to verse 17. In verse number 14, he's talking about our personal responsibility to God's Word. And incidentally, this is not just for grandmothers, it's not just for moms, it's for all of us. Our responsibility for the Word of God. He said, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of." Our first responsibility is to continue. It's to be consistent in our study personally of the Word of God. God is calling us to consistency in our walk with God, in our time in the Word of God. Consistency, continue, be faithful, be perseverant, be consistent in your Christian life. Now you say, you don't understand my schedule. I'm a very busy person. I can't find time for the Word of God. It's not an issue, friends, of discipline alone. It's not an issue of priorities alone. It's an issue of obedience, whether we're consistent in the Word of God. D.L. Moody, a famous evangelist, once said, "Either sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin." And so I'm asking you this morning, are you consistent in the Word of God? I was speaking to, just a few days ago, to a member of a Bible study that I have the privilege of being involved in. Most of the people in our Bible study are Francophones, but this man is Spanish speaking. His name is Jose. And Jose said, "I've been having trouble being consistent in the Word of God." I said, "Jose, it's not complicated. It's not complicated. What you need to do is this. You need to get yourself a journal. Just a small journal. And every day, you need to write a few lines. What happened yesterday? You need to read a chapter from the Bible every day. Record that. You need to ask God to speak to your heart personally. God, what are you saying to me from the Word of God?" Ask God to speak to you personally. And then, Jose, just put down two or three prayer requests. That's journaling. And I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you moms, you grandmothers, all of you, to be consistent in the Word of God. Now, our text goes on this morning. He said, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it." He's talking here about our credibility in the Word of God. He said, "You know the people you receive the Word of. You know your mother, Timothy. You know your grandmother. You know their lifestyle." My mother gave credibility to the Word of God for me. Now, the Word of God has credibility on its own. But the face of the Word of God as a young child in my life was the Word of God being lived out in the life of my mom. And so this issue of your credibility is very important. If you're a parent and you're not living consistently before your children, your home is a place of screaming and fighting and conflict. What message is that sending concerning the Word of God to your child? Paul says, you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. I'm called to consistency in the Word of God. And I am called in the name of Jesus Christ to demonstrate credibility with my Christian faith. He said, "You know those who you have learned the Word of God from." That's a tremendously important subject. Your pastor mentioned that we've just come from a regional convention. Incidentally, in our fellowship of churches, we have 31 churches in this Alberta, Saskatchewan, in the territories. One up in Hay River, right? We just added five, that's true, from Manitoba. All right. But at the convention, we had some very interesting speakers. One of the speakers was from, he was a journalist from Christianity Today. And he's written a book called Generation X. Not X like that, EX. And he was talking about 20-somethings and 30-somethings who are leaving the Church of Jesus Christ in unprecedented numbers. Now, in my generation, 20-somethings and 30-somethings left the church. But today, the rate of attrition, the rate of those young adults leaving the church is increasing, and they're staying away for longer periods of time. So that was his subject. So he analyzed some of the reasons why young adults are leaving the church. One of the reasons he mentioned was the fact that many times in the church, all we did was entertain them as young people. We tried to compete with the world. He mentioned the fact that sometimes churches are involved in legalism. In other words, they take the word of God and they tack man's ideas onto it, and young people see through that. He mentioned the fact that many times young adults aren't allowed to ask their hard questions in a church. He even mentioned a young woman who had asked a question, and she was slapped in church. And so he went and he interviewed literally hundreds of young adults that had left the church and had left their Christian faith. But this is what he said. He said the greatest reason, he was talking about young adults that actually stay in the church. He said the greatest key to young adults staying in the church is having some older person that cares about them and prays for them and connects with them. That's credibility. And I want to encourage you that we are to be consistent in the Word of God, and we're to invest our lives in younger adults, and God will give us credibility. Now let's move on in our text this morning. Because our text is not only talking about our responsibility, our text is talking about the reliability of the Word of God. This is a book you can depend upon. And I want to just draw your attention to three simple points. In verse number 15, he talks about the power of the Scripture. The power of the Scripture. It's a powerful book. It's not Shakespeare. Amen? This isn't Shakespeare. In French, we say, c'est pas Molière. It's not Molière. This is the living, powerful Word of God. And he says here, it has the power, it is able to make you wise unto salvation. He's talking about Timothy. His mother and his grandmother shared the Word of God with him. And the Word of God is like that incorruptible seed that goes down into your soul, and it springs forth unto eternal life. He said, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Listen, God can use the Bible. God can use the Bible to change a heart of stone. God can use the Bible to change a heart that is absolutely dead towards God. There's a scripture that says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Ruth and I were in a Gideon's banquet this past week in Montreal, and we heard some of the miracles of people's lives that were being transformed by the Word of God. I'm a history guy, and when I think about transformation, I'm thinking about a story that I heard a number of years ago. Many of you have heard the story of the Mutiny on the Bounty. Probably you may have even seen the movie with Marlon Brando, or one more recently with Mel Gibson. Okay, who helped me there? Thank you very much. Mel Gibson, exactly. And there's been four or five movies of The Mutiny on the Bounty. The Mutiny on the Bounty, of course, is based on a true story. The true story is the story of a British warship that went out from England in 1790 under the famous, evil, brutal Captain Blythe, right? Who brutalized his men. And they went to Tahiti to pick up a load of breadfruit. And on the way back, Fletcher Christian, the first lieutenant in that ship, he led a mutiny against the captain. And they took the captain, put him and some of the rest of the crew into a boat. Fletcher Christian went back to Tahiti, picked up some of the native men and native women, and then they took off to try to find an uninhabited island where they could live out the rest of their days. That's the true story of it. They found a Pitcairn Island, and turns out that Fletcher Christian wasn't an angel. Neither were the rest of the sailors. They learned how to distill alcohol. There were nine of them, and they started murdering each other. And within 10 years, there was only one sailor left. All the rest had been either murdered each other or they died of some reason. All of the men had died. Several of the native women were still living. Several of the, I would say, half-breed children were living. And what happened, and you never hear this in the movie, incidentally, what happened, this one sailor, he found an old chest off the Bounty, and he looked in and he found a Bible. And he began to read it. And he began to teach the people the Word of God. He was converted. And the rest of them were converted. And this happened in the year 1800. The mutiny took place in 1790. In 1809, an American warship showed up. And they found a community, no alcohol, no crime. People were serving God. They were worshiping God. And if you go to Pitcairn Island today, you can still see Christians there worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a powerful book. There's power in the Word of God. In verse number 16, we find out, we're talking about the reliability of the Word of God. Why is it reliable? It's reliable because it's powerful. It's reliable, secondly, because of the process whereby we received it from God. He's talking about the way we got the Scripture. He says all Scripture, literally, is God-breathed. It came from God. Holy men of God received the Holy Spirit, moved upon them, and they gave us the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to take time to go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, but that's a key verse. He's talking about how we got the Bible. All Scripture is God-breathed. One of the terms that we use in theology, we say the Word of God is verbally, we believe in verbal, plenary inspiration of the Scripture. You say, what does verbal mean? It comes from the word verbum in Latin, which is talking about the words. God has literally superintended the Word of God and the words of God. Plenary means full or completely. All Scripture is inspired of God. He's talking here about the process by which we have received the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I love the story of the Salvation Army officer, a young woman. She's walking down the street, and she had her Bible nicely kind of tucked under her arm. And somebody said to her, you don't believe that book, do you? And she said, well, yes, I do. And the person said, well, you don't believe the story about Jonah and the big fish, do you? And she said, yes, I do. And she said, well, don't you realize that he was 3 days in that fish? There was no oxygen in there. There was no air in there. How could he have breathed in there? And you still believe it? And she said, yes, I do. And she said, well, how do you know? She said, I don't know how God did that. But she said, when I get to heaven, I can ask Jonah. He can tell us. But I believe the Bible. I believe it's all true. And the person said, well, what happens if you get to heaven and Jonah's not there? And she said, well, then you can ask him. All scripture given by inspiration of God. It's all. All of it. And it's not only a powerful book. He talks about the process by which we got it. It's given by inspiration of God, but it's profitable for us. Not just for moms and grandmothers. It's profitable, it's useful, he says, for teaching, doctrine. We need teaching. It's useful for rebuking, telling us when we're wrong, right? It's useful for correcting, telling us how to get right, get our life back on track. It's useful for training in righteousness so that the man of God, in the collective sense, men, women, children, that they might be thoroughly equipped, fully ready to live a life for every good work. And so on this Mother's Day, and we're not going to go to 12:30, as has been suggested, we're going to wrap it up right now. But in this Mother's Day, I want to challenge you very simply. I want to challenge you on the Word of God. Are you consistent as a Christian? I have a friend, and Ruth and I are going to go and visit him in a couple of days down in Three Hills, Alberta. And his motto was, no breakfast if I have no Bible. In other words, his Bible time was more important to him than having breakfast. It's God's Word, right? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of God. In 1 Peter 2:2, Peter says, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word. And so I want to encourage you this morning. I want to exhort you, really, to be consistent in the word of God. If you don't have a journal, get started. I want to encourage you this morning on this whole matter of your credibility. Moms, grandmothers, dads, grandfathers. Our lives need to bring credibility to the Word of God in the eyes of our children and our grandchildren. We need to live consistently according to the Word of God. And then I want to encourage you on just, this is a reliable book. This is, I'm telling you, not too long ago, I listened to a preacher who questioned the historicity of the book of Jonah. I don't know whether that gets you stirred up, but it gets me stirred up. Turn with me just for a moment, if you will, to the Gospel of Matthew. Let's find out if Jesus believed the story of Jonah and the great fish. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verse number 38. We read here, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, speaking of Jesus, teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. He answered, this is speaking of Jesus, a wicked and adulterous generation ask for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights. This was not a fairy tale. It wasn't a myth to him. He believed it. Not only did he believe it, he said this, "So the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." The biblical account of Jonah is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord himself. This is God's word. So we need to understand the reliability of the scripture. It's a powerful book. It's a supernatural book. It finds its source in God. It's not a human book. And we need to understand as well the process by which we got the Word of God. It came through the inspiration and the moving of the Holy Spirit on these biblical writers of old. And then we find as well that it's profitable in our lives. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And so, may we put the Word of God into practice in our lives. May it be something that we become models and encouragers of others, moms and grandmothers, that we become encouragers of others, that they can look up to us as people that they use as mentors, and they can be inspired to follow Jesus Christ. God bless you as a church family. Thank you for this opportunity.